Grace to you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation today is our gospel lesson from John chapter 20, especially the disciples' words to Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." This is our text. Christ is risen, alleluia.
He is risen indeed,
alleluia. I am sorry to report that there was no 6 o'clock sunrise service this morning. And unfortunately, unlike last week at this time, the church is not filled to the brim with more than 200 worshipers. And while we had the beautiful voices of Megan and Glenn this morning, we don't have that whole host of choir and handbells playing and singing this morning. There is no brass. There are no drums. We still have the flowers here, but their smell and aroma has greatly diminished. And I really hate to break it to you, but there's no Easter breakfast waiting for you over in the gym. We are only a week away from that blessed Easter day with all of the special services, the special music, the amazing decorations, that special time of fellowship with the Easter breakfast. But the joy, excitement, and fever of that day is greatly diminished. And in light of all of that, I'd like to ask you to remember this, that while we are a week away and things are a lot more subdued, the message is still the same. As we take a look at our gospel lesson today, we see that in our gospel, it is still Easter. Our text takes place in the evening of that Easter day. And so far, Jesus has appeared to Mary Magdalene, to the other women at the tomb, to Peter in Jerusalem, to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and now he appears to the 10 disciples as they are locked in the upper room for fear of the Jews. So this is Jesus' fifth appearance on that first Easter day. There are only 6 more appearances recorded in the Bible over the next 40 days before Jesus ascends into heaven. Now, there could have been more, but the Bible only records 6 more. So what we see is that Jesus is a very busy man on that very first Easter day. And as our text opens up, we see the disciples locked in that upper room, as our text says, for fear of the Jews. They had heard the various accounts of Jesus appearing to various people, but the meaning of those appearances really hasn't sunk in yet. And I don't think it's really going to sink in until Pentecost, when they receive the Holy Spirit. And suddenly, literally out of thin air, Jesus appears to the disciples in the upper room. I find it interesting. You know, normally when God or an angel appears to people out of nowhere, the first words out of God or the angel's voice is, "Don't be afraid. Fear not." But that's not what Jesus says. The first words out of Jesus' mouth are, "Peace be with you." That's only 2 words in the Greek language, and I think it's better translated, "Peace to you." In fact, Jesus says it twice. And after he says peace to you the first time, he shows the disciples his hands and his side, with the result that the disciples are glad to see him. This is really in stark contrast to our window here. The angel appears to the shepherds to tell them about the birth of the Savior. And what does St. Luke tell us? The shepherds were sore afraid. but not the disciples. They are glad to see Jesus. So why are the shepherds sore afraid and the disciples glad to see Jesus? I think the difference is the crucifixion. On the cross, Jesus says, "It is finished." And so there's nothing to be afraid of anymore. There's nothing to fear because our sins have been forgiven. And so Jesus says, "Peace to you," and the disciples are not afraid. They're actually glad to see Jesus. And then Jesus says, "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And those words, sent and sending, are very, very important. At the root of those words is our word for apostle. An apostle is one who is sent out. So God originally sent out Jesus as his son and apostle, and now Jesus is sending out the disciples as his apostles into the world. And then Jesus breathes on them. And this is very important again because it is reminiscent of God breathing into Adam the breath of life. And as Jesus breathes on them, he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you withhold the sins from any, it is withheld." This, in fact, serves as the disciples' ordination. Jesus is giving the church the power to forgive and withhold sins. But this power is not given to any individual. This is not given to any class of people. This power is given to the church at whole. So the task assigned to the church is the forgiveness of sins that is won for us through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Finally, as we go through our text, we learn that Thomas, the twin, isn't present with the other 10 disciples when Jesus appears to them in that upper room. And so when Thomas arrives, the rest of the disciples proclaim, "We have seen the Lord." I mean, I can almost hear the excitement in their voices as they share that news with Thomas. And I can also imagine Mary Magdalene and the other women and Peter and the Emmaus disciples all telling Thomas of all of their experiences and with their encounters of Jesus' day. And so it's no wonder that Thomas, rather than commiserating and kicking the dirt and saying, "Oh man, I missed it," says, "Unless I see his hands, the mark of his nails, and place my fingers into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I'm never going to believe." Those are harsh words. But it's not just Thomas's faith that's in jeopardy. It's Thomas's apostleship that is in jeopardy as well. Because if Thomas doesn't see Jesus alive and well after the resurrection, then he can't be a witness and he can't be an apostle. So we would be left with 11 apostles and not 12, and that can't be the case. And so you see that Thomas had to see Jesus. The church needed Thomas to see Jesus because the church needs his witness. The church needs his testimony. And that's why a week later, Jesus comes back for the sole purpose of letting Thomas see him alive and well in the flesh. And Thomas's response to seeing Jesus, even without laying a hand on him, is priceless. He gets down on his knees and he proclaims, "My Lord and my God." Thomas believes. And so here we are a week later. The crowd is much thinner. The flowers are not quite as fragrant. We don't have breakfast. The choir is taking a break. But my dear friends, the message is still the same. Last Sunday, in our gospel lesson, Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And this week, in our gospel lesson, we have the disciples telling Thomas the exact same thing, "We have seen the Lord." For them, it was the very same day, but for us, it's a week later, but the message is still the same. And to be sure, it has been 1,000 years since those events happened, and the message is still the same. Christ is risen, hallelujah.
He is risen indeed, hallelujah.
And because Christ is risen, we too will rise. Our sins have been forgiven, and we have been given that work of witnessing to that event. No, we're not apostles like Thomas and the others, but we are disciples. God has entered our lives. He has forgiven all of our sins, and we are changed forever. The whole reason why we gather together on a Sunday morning and worship our Lord is because the resurrection took place on Sunday morning. And even in the middle of summer, when everybody's on vacation and we've got 20 people here in church, the message is still the same. We have seen the Lord. So we continue to proclaim that word. We continue to offer our Lord's sacraments because that's what we do. That's what our job is. That is our witness. Christ is risen. Hallelujah.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name, amen.